Praise God. Happy Father's Day. I read a Christian writer who grouped men into four different kind of birds. He called a group of men the canary. They can usually be found singing up a storm in the cage. They just sing all day. Other folks feed them, and they're pretty much powerless birds. Too many men are satisfied with the status quo. They are happy just to get their house and their beans and their potatoes and their TV remotes, and they're fine. That's the canary. Then there's the buzzard. Is there any teenager that can give me a good buzzard sound, man? Praise God. Is Kyle here? Praise God. He's getting ready. Next, you got the buzzard, man. The buzzard sits on the poles all day long and just squawks, making this irritating sound. Far too many men just want to sit on the sidelines and complain. Well, I wish my wife was this, or my wife is not that. I wish she were that. A buzzard is just a guy who sits around all day and complains. And then you've got the peacock. The peacock just wants to sit up and look good all day. And you know why? Because with the peacock, his interest is only on itself. Praise God. Now, many men are eagles, and I think they all attend this church. Praise God. Eagles just don't sit around all day. They soar. They take over. They're in complete control. Eagles are in the Word. Eagles love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Eagles want nothing else but to see the kingdom of God grow. Eagles want nothing else but to see their wives grow and their children grow in the way of the Lord. So I'm supposed to ask all the men here today, which bird are you? Praise God.
Yeah, that was good. Whoever did that was good.
Today's passage is Psalm 128, six verses in it. And it's called Blessedness of the Fear of the Lord. Then it says the Song of Accents. And I thought, accents, what does that mean? And I looked up the Hebrew word was malaloth, which means going up. It means going up to Jerusalem and ascending to the temple. So if you could get this picture of people just walking along up to the temple, and then they read this verse together. It says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants. The psalmist says, around your table, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And I read those six verses, and I got 4 points out of there that I want to share with you today. The first point is this. The first thing that the psalmist says in verses 1 and 2 is that nurturing your family begins with everyone being committed to the Lord. So important. The place to start fixing the family is by fixing the people who live in your house. If the family's gonna be right, then the members must have their lives centered on God. So important. So important. When you think about satellites, often are used to show us where the enemy is located. They provide pictures, they provide perspectives on so that we are kept from ambushes and traps. Satellites provide information critical to be victorious in a war. And when I thought about satellites, I thought about fathers are supposed to be like satellites, providing a perspective for their kids in order to keep them from being ambushed in bad relationships. Now, I would like every teenager, because I love teenagers, to read these verses along with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. They're very important for you in your life, in your walk as you grow into adulthood. You can see them right on the screen. Let's read them. Let's read it together. Do not be misled. bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. So the first thing is, if you want to nurture your family, it begins with everybody in your family being committed to the Lord. The second thing that Psalms 128 tells us about nurturing is that the Christian family needs the right atmosphere. You as men must create a healthy spiritual environment for your family. Now, I have these two verses. I'm sure you have guys have heard them before, but I would like all the men in the church to read them with me. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And when I count to three, say discipline. One, two, three.
Discipline.
Nice. Isn't that a great word? Praise God. I know the teenagers love that word. Colossians 3:21, let's read this together as fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. The writer of Psalm 128 also pictures the wife as a fruitful vine. And there are three things you need to know, dads or husbands, about vines. First, a vine clings. Isn't that beautiful? Kathy, I love when you cling to me, my little girl. Second, vines not only cling, but they climb. Third, the thing you need to know about vines is they produce a cluster of grapes. Isn't that beautiful? When you think about being a dad or a mom and you think about your little children, because when it comes to your children, I'm sure most of you have experienced their dependence on you to face their fears when they have nightmares or when there's thundering and lightning during the storm. I'm sure many parents have little children that don't like the lightning and thundering. And then they wake up and they scream and they jump out of their bed and they'll walk through the valley of their bedroom, down the valley of the hallway, to the valley of your room. And they'll jump in your bed because what they need is somebody to be with them. And your hugging them really doesn't stop the rain or the thunder or the lightning, but it changes how they face it. Think about it. They fall asleep in your arms. The fear that they have alone, they no longer have because mama or daddy is holding them. And you help them face their fears in the midst of their struggles. And I came here today to tell you that's exactly what our Heavenly Father does to us when we face our own fears or insecurities as dads or moms. So number three, the family is maintained by the community of believers. The Lord blesses you from Zion, it says in verse 5 of 128. We need each other. Do you realize, and I studied this week because I don't know that much about olive plants, but did you know that it takes 15 years for an olive plant to become an olive tree? I never knew that. In the Garden of Gethsemane over in Israel, there are 2,000-year-old olive trees that are still producing olives. Their roots definitely run deep. The Mount of Olives is a mountain covered with olive trees that have lived for centuries. And when those trees were saplings, when they were little, they were nurtured so that they would have remained productive in their lives. So in your listening, God, I put likewise, the care and nurture of a child will yield the returns of a fruitful life. Think about it. There was a great philosopher, Plato, who said this, the saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. It's a beautiful statement. Beautiful statement. I heard a statistic the other day. In the year 2012, girls from the ages of 15 to 19, there were 350,000 girls between the ages of 15 and 19 to have a baby in 2012. That's unbelievable. It said 85% of them didn't have a husband. So you think of that, and I try to relate everything to Camden Yards because that's 50,000 people, and I'm a big Orioles fan. But you think of seven stadiums filled with young ladies having babies out of wedlock. 350,000 in 2012. The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. Psalms 22, 6 through 9, train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's why there's so much training going on in this church, whether it be the children's ministry or the youth ministry. We just want to train them. And that's what you do at home. Feed them the Word of God. Feed it to them. It says in verse 7, the rich rule over the poor. The borrower will become the lender's slave. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity. And when I think about that word vanity, I think about pride. I think about conceit. I think about arrogance. And the rod of his fury will perish. Verse 9 said, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Point number 4 today, the believing family, when nurtured properly, will be powerful on its impact on society. If you want to fix the culture, start with the house you live in. How are we as Christian men or Christian fathers going to help influence the leaders of our society? And they need some influencing now, if you know what I'm talking about. How are we going to influence the leaders of our society if we're not willing to lead and love and nurture our own wives and children? As a parent, nurturing starts with your walk with God. It starts with your own walk with God, then moves on to your relationship to your family, and then your involvement in the church. You think about it, parents are a child's escort through life. We have in our culture approximately 18 years to escort our children safely into their own way, like a police escort that escorts specially designated drivers, travelers through traffic. Parents are to escort their children through life safely during the time that we have the responsibility for them. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. I remember our very first family retreat. This was our verses. And the Word of God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These verses will always be here for parents. These words which I'm commanding you today, Moses wrote this, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, or when you lie down, or when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's a beautiful verses for parents. I read a story from a Christian author. There's a story of a man who used to lecture on child rearing. He had been a professor for a long time, and he had lectured through his single years and his parenting years. His lectures, though, evolved over the years. When he was single, he started off calling his lectures the Ten Commandments of Parenting. After his first child, he had to change the title to 10 Hints for Parenting. After his second child, he changed the title to 10 Suggestions for Parenting. And when he had his third child, he just stopped lecturing altogether, man. Praise God. Deuteronomy 11. Moses almost repeats it later on in the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 18. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. See, always as a dad or even a mom, it always starts with your own relationship with God, impressing Him on your heart and soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals of your forehead. In verse 19, Moses writes to parents, you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house or when you walk along the road or when you lie down or when you rise up. You should write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? So that your days and the days of your sons will be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them as long as the heavens remain above. So when you think about it, as a job, as a parent, as a dad or a mom, you're to be the filters in your homes. Water filters, if you think about it, they keep the impurities from getting into the house. Parents are filters for their homes, so the junk of the world will not be instilled in the life of their children. Now, I would like to say something to our awesome teenagers here this morning. And correct me if I'm wrong, but teenagers at various times have the uncanny knack for caring more about the opinion of their peers than their parents. Do I get any amen from parents for that? They are infamous for referring to what Bob says or Butch or Patty says at one time or another as though their view is more important. And there are a couple problems with this mentality. Those peers don't provide a roof, clothes, or food for you. Praise God. I knew I'd get some amen out of that. Their thoughts should not carry the same weight as the thoughts and opinions of your parents who provide the needs for you. No parent wants their child being so influenced by a peer that parental authority is overruled. Do I get any amens for that? Praise God. Could I hear some amen from the teenagers? 1, 2, 3. Amen. I got one. Praise God. I really feel that God shares in this sentiment. He doesn't want his children bringing the thoughts of other gods into relationships. Last week at the family retreat, I shared two things that I hope I can find because I want to share them to you today because I thought they were very relevant for today. Because last Sunday we were talking about the God of this age, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4, and we don't have this on PowerPoint, but 2 Corinthians 4, read it later on. For even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age is blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they might not see the light of the gospel of glory of Christ. And Paul said, and we are supposed to do it ourselves, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the gospel of glory in the face of Christ. And I shared last Sunday that the God of this age, and I want to tell you, because if you weren't there, I want you to get this, because I want you to understand what the God of this age, little g, is all about. And I said this last week, the current world mindset expressed by ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, views of the majority of people, it encompasses world's philosophies, education, and commerce. We have to watch. We have to watch what's being spoken to our children. We have to watch the philosophies that are being shared through commerce, through education. Because you know what? As dads and even as moms, we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account on how we raised our kids, how we poured the Word of God to them, how we had them involved in Christian events and activities and things where they can grow in their relationship with God. And as you as a parent, as you grow in your personal relationship with God, then you take those things that are you're learning and you pass them down to your children. That's what parenting is all about. But we have an enemy called Satan. And I said it last Sunday, Satan blinds men to God's truth through the world system he has created. There is a system out there, a world philosophy, that's doing everything they can to keep men away from the things of God, to keep men from being faithful to their wives, so there won't be 350,000 teenage girls having unwanted pregnancies outside of a marriage. Without a godly influence, man left to himself will follow that system, will follow the philosophy of this world, which panders to the depravity of unbelievers and deepens their moral darkness. I truly believe that, and I feel like we need to be preaching that from the pulpit. Men, stay close to God. Grow in your relationship with God. When you wake up in the morning, want nothing else but to have the Holy Spirit speaking through you so that you will be a man of passion. You will be a man of God, of the Word, so you can take what God has given you. Because can I tell you something? There's 4 out of 10 kids in school who wake up every day without a dad. So that puts a lot of pressure on the church, because God has commanded us to take the things of God and take it outside these walls and share them. Grab a hold of your kid in the neighborhood who doesn't have a father. Invite him over for dinner. Teach them the things of God. Allow your teenager to take the things of God and spread to them. Praise God. I'm passionate about being a dad, man. I'm very passionate about it. Matthew 13:19, I shared last week. Sorry, Donna, I'm way off. And by the way, Donna, those flags waving on that PowerPoint, that was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful song. We need to sing that again. Praise God. Whew. Ben, why don't you come up? Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. There might be people sitting in here right now that really, church is just a box to check off, or church is just a place to come when you don't have anything else going on. You know, there's no sporting event or whatever going on, so you decided to show up. And in this church, we are sharing the Word of God. We are doing everything we can to sow seeds into your heart. God does the changing. You know, I wish I could do it. I can. I've tried, and I realize I can't do it. I can only do it through His Word. So from this pulpit, in these classrooms, in the back building, we are going to be sowing seeds into your heart. Remember, no matter what part of the family you are, a baby, a little kid, a teenager, an adult, a granddad, a great-granddad, praise God. We have the commission by God to share the things of God. And the reason why I bring that up to you, Satan wants nothing else but you to walk out of the door and forget everything that was said today. Forget every scripture that was read today. Forget about the Word of God during the week. Forget about praying. Forget about praying over your wife. Forget about teaching your children the things of God. Satan wins when you do that. Satan wins when the Word of God doesn't become implanted in your heart and you walk outside these walls and everything else becomes important. Philosophies of this world, education that doesn't bring you closer to God. Psalm 78:1-7. Praise God. And it's subtitled, God's Guidance of His People in Spite of Their Unfaithfulness. Can I tell you something? Even when you're unfaithful, God is faithful. He's faithful. It's up to you whether you want to choose to be faithful or not. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you're sitting in here and you're not diligently seeking God, change your lifestyle, man. Change your lifestyle. Make Him number one in your life. Make this Word number one in your life. If you're a dad and you're blessed to have a wife, that you become one flesh. In fact, Katie and Chris, stand up a second. That couple back there, they're becoming one flesh a week from tomorrow night. Seriously. I look back there and I see Chris's hand is shaking a little bit, man. And that's all right. You should be nervous. Seriously. But from, I know I'm getting to Callie and Brian, hold on. But a week from tomorrow night, in the sight of God, they're going to make a commitment for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and sickness and health and handshaking and everything. They're going to make that commitment. It's going to be powerful. And they're going to become one flesh in the sight of God. And you know what they're going to need? God. They're going to need to stay in the Word. They're going to need to stay in fellowship. They're going to need to be in a place where Katie's growing and Chris is growing. And then all of a sudden they have these kids. And I love to pray for twins. I love to pray for twins for people. It's powerful. Can you imagine having twins, man? Praise God. Just talk to Joe and Dana. It's beautiful. They're beautiful. Praise God. And then on August 16th, I'd like another couple to sit up because we started their premarital counseling, which their dad asked for 100 hours. He asked for 100 hours of premarital. Look at Jeff back away. This is Brian and Callie. August 16th, am I correct? Praise God. They're getting married. In the sight of God, it's going to be beautiful. You can sit down unless you want to do it right now. Praise God. Praise God. I've been wanting to do a wedding on Sunday morning. Oh my gosh, I love weddings. Oh, I love doing weddings. And that time when the ring bearer gave the ring to me and it fell underneath the bride's dress, I didn't know what to do, man. It was horrible. It was beautiful. Remember that, Kathy? And Kathy's just going. And praise God, the maid of honor got the ring, and then I could go forward there, because I'm not, you know what I mean, praise God. Did I read the psalm yet? Okay. Listen, oh my people. Isn't that a great way to start a psalm? Listen, oh my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Isn't that a pretty cool verse for Father's Day? And our fathers have told us. Kids, when you get in the car, I want you to look right at your dad and say, I want you to tell me about God. I want you to teach me about God. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born. I love that. Praise God. Did you hear me, Caleb and Julie? Even to the children yet to be born. Praise God, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Praise God. Ushers, come forward. On this Father's Day, June 15, 2014, this is what I want to tell you. Nurturing your vines and your olive plants starts with your walk with God. Then it moves to your relationship with your family. Then your involvement in the church. Three things. Three things God is calling you to do the rest of your life. To do those things. To secure your walk with God. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the last thing Peter wrote. To him be glory both now and forever and amen. And then pour it into your family. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some dads in here right now. I can feel it in my heart. That he is calling to nurture some kid in your neighborhood who doesn't have a dad. Or the dad is absent. Or the dad is not there. He is calling dads to step up because we're good at stepping up. When we have God in our hearts, to grab a hold of a kid in your neighborhood and nurture them. Nurture them. And then he might be a preacher one day. He might have his own family one day. Father, I ask you to bless this offering, Lord. I ask you to take the words that were spoken today. Take the psalms that were shared today and pour it into our hearts, Father. Thank you for the awesome eagles we have here today as dads here, because we want to be eagles for you, Father. We want to soar. We want to be in control with obviously allowing you to control our lives. Help us to soar. Help us to soar, Father, in this generation, because we need some eagles that soar. Father. So I ask you to bless every father here. Father, I ask you to bless this offering today, Father. Gosh, I got personal today, Lord, and that's all right, because I didn't share anything that wasn't shared in your word, Father. So I ask you to bless this offering, Father. Teach us what it means to give. Father, and I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody that needs prayer today, once the plate comes down your aisle, stand up. Let's worship. If you want prayer, praise God. We'd love to pray for you.